Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel. Sports in Depth is the show, and we're always open with John Coltrane's Dear Lord and a prayer to the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the things we so largely take for granted. We ask that you give us, Lord, not so much what we want, but what we need, and we need you. We thank you, as that man once said, that although we do not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue bench. You're God all by yourself, and you may not be everybody's God, but you are the one and true God. We thank you for blessings unseen, all unmerited. Those coming, those have come. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports in Depth is the show. We always open up with John Coltrane and a prayer, and I'm looking around, and I know that here they come. Hold on now. Oh, yeah. Far and wide. Well, come on, Spratly. Spratly, as you know, Spratly was the name of the horse by the legendary, famous cowboy Bill Pickett. Pickett was the man who brought into Western lore the system where you would ride your horse and bring a steer down. Jump off your horse, bring a steer down. He used to bite the steer's lip to bring him down. And the legendary Bill Pickett was the man who instituted that. This is a little sports special here. Saturday there's a huge fight supposedly the guard just sold out. Antonio Margarito against none other than Miguel Cotto. And it's a fight that is seen as a good match. It's a fight that a lot of people feel that had things been differently, and we're talking about the undoctored hands. We're talking about if things would have been done from, some people feel, from an apropos standpoint of view, law-wise, Antonio Margarito would not be in the ring again. The doctored hands are a situation that... Well, a lot of people just feel, speaking to some of the fighters, and their consensus is, well, you know, he shouldn't be back. But if he's going to come back, how does he come back and get a shot at the title? How does he come back and make this astronomical amount of money? How does he come back after being found guilty at all? And how has he come back? He's come back twice. On Saturday, he will be fighting again for the title, and we'll be fighting again at an astronomical amount of money. We're going to talk about the forthcoming fight from a historic standpoint of view. We're going to talk about the fight also from a point of view that from a Hispanic side, and just all points of view. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? George Willis, too, has said that... he kind of concurs that, you know, maybe the guy shouldn't be fighting again. How did the New York State Boxing Commission get him his license back? Not license back, give him a license here. When you look, they stripped Muhammad Ali, refused the induction into the military. I mean, stripped Ali. You know, New York State Boxing Commission wouldn't give Muhammad Ali a license because he refused to go into the military. Antonio Margarito, okay, is caught with raps. And it was something that was emphatically brought up to him today by none other than Miguel Cotto, who called him a criminal and said I will speak in Spanish so he can understand what I'm saying in its entirety. And he explained to him what criminal meant, which meant you. Lady A is with us, Harold Weston Jr.
I'm here.
Miguel Cotto. And Lady A, there's some bad blood here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could see it. You could see it. I think it was indicative when they both got up to do the face-off and Bob Arum stood between the two of them. And then shortly thereafter, you saw Miguel Cotto just walk out, and he wasn't really open for much comments to the press, but it seemed like he was going to kind of let his hands do the talking in the ring on Saturday.
Well, I meant to get a hold of Dusty, too. You know, hoping that Seawings can join us. But you know, you've taken that with the class and character that is so essence of you, and we're hoping that Seawings will join us, too, on the show, talking about football. We're going to also have Larry Hardesty his interview. But there was, on the other hand, Lady A, feeling that Miguel, in fact, the whole press conference, I mean, this was a press conference with the two main event fighters, and yet there was limited access to both guys. I mean, the only guy that you got to was Margarito, and you really couldn't get to him. So in an overall perspective, the press conference was a failure, and you really didn't get a chance to talk to the fighters. And more importantly, you talked about how the Hispanic media didn't get a chance to digest and talk to either one of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was a little disappointing for the press. I saw members from El Diario, ESPN Deportes, and a couple of Latin radio stations there. And it seemed like, you know, your access was limited to the fighters. I mean, I was just lucky I had a chance to kind of talk to Robert Garcia and get some ideas from him about, you know, the training, kind of how it had gone. And one of the points that he had brought up as far as, you know, some of the things he was doing with Margarito in training camp. But it just seemed to me like, in general, there wasn't that openness like there was in a lot of the other press conferences that we have attended in the past between the fighters and the media.
Muscles, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Muscles, you, and we're glad to have the Cisco Kid back on the lawn. I mean, hey, you know what? Is that the, hey, Cisco, this is for you, baby.
What's up, baby?
you've been gone a long time, coming in last, but hey, the Cisco Kid is fine. Let's talk about some things here too, Cisco. You weren't there today, but there's this feeling that, you know, Miguel Cotto has gotten bigger than what he is. There's a certain, if I'm correct, an aloofness. There's a certain unavailability. There's a certain, well, he is not receptive, if I'm correct, to his people.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I didn't go today. I'll tell you that much. I spent the last 2 days going to Margarito's open workout and to Cotto's. And from hearing what she just said, I'm kind of glad I didn't go because Margarito just came. It was like a guest appearance. He ran out of the place, you know, after a few Q&As, he was out of there. No open workout, no nothing. Cotto did his open workout, but Cotto was also very short with his answers and quickly done and out. And if the press conference was like that today, that is goddamn terrible for a guy at his stature and a fight of this magnitude. They actually, both fighters are killing the potential of making this fight bigger than what it is by acting that way. And Cotto seems not to care about his popularity anymore. He seems to care about a payday you know, that's pretty much it. He's not really in it for the fans like, let's say, Tito was or anybody before him.
You spoke about that, how the difference in pop. I mean, the thing with Cotto, too, is one of the things that I'm thinking about in this particular fight, I mean, I think the consensus is you're going to lean toward Miguel, bringing with the beatings, as Harold said, that Margarito took. He hasn't won a fight since he's come back. But I'm wondering, Harold, is the absence of Emmanuel Stewart in Miguel's corner, could that be advantageous to Margarito as the fight goes in and strategy has to be employed?
No, not really. I mean, Cotto's still fighting the same way he always fights. I mean, you know, basically, whatever makes Cotto happy, and that's with any fighter, whatever trainer that he feels comfortable with, he's going to try to do his best performance of what he's doing. But at the same time, I don't think that, Manuel never had no real impact on Cotto because you got to be there from day one to have an impact on a fighter or any athlete. You coming in when he's already been developed into a full-fledged champion, your impact don't mean nothing. That voice doesn't rouse you like the first person, like the first man that taught you how to throw a jab. So, no, it doesn't have nothing to do with that. I don't think, Emmanuel not being there won't mean nothing.
Harold, go ahead, Cisco.
Yeah, Harold is right. I mean, Cotto needed a trainer. And he went after the best trainer he could pick because he didn't have one. But he's well into his career and pretty much almost at the end of his rope. So what would Emmanuel Stewart bring to the table now that he probably would bring maybe a few pointers, but he's not going to be able to really change Cotto that much, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
but at this level. I mean, when you're at this championship level, man, I mean, look, these guys know how to fight, man. They know what needs to be done and what they have to do to win a fight.
Well,
so
I'm not
going to
say they know
level,
how to fight. I'm just going to say they're there. I wouldn't say they can fight. I mean, they're there.
I think the thing here, too, is the big thing here is what the synopsis is. Miguel Cotto is set in his ways. He's set, and, at this point in his career, Harold said, Emmanuel wasn't there at the beginning where, and a big point that you make, Harold, Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, and Leonard is coming on in the fight. And Emmanuel Stewart simply says to Tommy, let's go back to the amateurs. And that clicks in, and Tommy starts boxing. This is something that was at the beginning of the career. This is a rapport. This is what you're talking about, Harold. When he said that, Tommy knew exactly what he was talking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it clicked in because of all the years they've been together and everything. It's just like with Angelo Dundee. You got to understand, Angelo had Ray soon as he turned pro, and so that clicked in. When he said, you're blowing it, kid. You're blowing it. You need this. Ray went out there and did that, as tired as Ray was. Went out there and threw a blaze of punches. He stopped Tommy. So the voices of your people being in that corner and who you believe in is going to bring you to that height to make you go out there and do more than what you could thought you can do with your body. And then that's very serious. That voice helps you out in the long run.
Also, there's another factor too, is that Emmanuel Stewart, in order to change a fighter, when he got like with the Klitschko's or even with Lennox Lewis, it took him at least 6 to 7 or even 8 fights before we saw a difference in the Klitschko's or even Lennox Lewis, where he only has, 2 or 3 fights with Cotto. It's not enough.
He would need a lot more to make it. The Yankee Stadium fight was the one fight that
And the Mayorga fight, too.
There's
one,
too.
So just two fights is not going to change anything.
No. It takes you time to get confidence in that new person that comes, that comes in that corner. That's the whole thing. So
and the truth.
I wanted to say, Cotto, it's not all about the money with Cotto on this. Cotto's pride has been broken, okay? And Cotto wants to really make a revenge on this guy. And after Cotto has seen this guy get beat in his last 2 or 3 fights and how bad he's gotten beaten, Cotto really, before he retires, he wants to beat this guy up bad for what he did to him in that fight with the loaded gloves he had. That's all it is right now.
That's exactly what I was telling you, Doc.
That was the thing.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Lady A, that I mean, the first thing Margarito said, and we're going to play a little bit later on, was that, you know, he wasn't a criminal and boom, boom, boom. And the first thing that Miguel said, and he said, you know, I'm going to hablar en español because I want him to understand completely what I'm saying. And he said, not only are you a criminal, he defined what a criminal was, and he said, that's what you are. Lady A? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I thought that was great. I started cracking up. I thought that was great because he said, listen, just in case, I don't want anything to get lost in translation, was how I kind of perceived him when he made that comment. I kind of perceived that that's the point he was trying to stress, which is I don't want anything to get lost in translation, so I'm going to say it in Spanish so you can understand it clearly. It's great. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they were standing. He was standing up, and Margarito was sitting down. And I really thought at that point that they were going to go at it. And I think that absolutely. Because then Cotto went and sat down and crossed his hands. And then Bob Arum said, I'm going to stand, this 80-year-old guy is going to stand between these guys because we're not going to do a face-off. That's probably the best thing they did because he looked like he was going to knock his block off.
I thought from the time that this fight was announced that Cotto was absolutely
rightfully so. A guy comes in and plays with your health, and you don't think, let's put it like this, or creates a hint of impropriety, okay, that can lead to possibly him, you know,
killing,
having loaded gloves. Okay, I mean, I would react the same way. Harold, don't you think so? I mean, come on.
I think there's no question. I mean, now that you know what the situation is, and now you can defend it, and you can get them again. Oh yeah, you know, it's not even about, like I said before, it's not even about the money now with Cotto. Cotto really wants to hurt this guy because, like Cotto said in 24/7, and Cotto was right. He said this man could have my life in his hand, and he was willing to hurt me real badly in my career for what he had. And he could have. And he really could have. But Cotto knows that now that he's got the last breath in his body, before he leaves boxing, he wants to really mess this man up before he gets out of here. Believe me.
It's about what you said too, Harold. And knowing, in this case, it's not that the other guy kicked his ass. It's the other guy cheated.
Cheated,
the other guy stooped down to
it,
I mean, came into.
Put it this way. He would not be, this day and age, he's still fighting. I mean, I'm pretty sure Cotto's pissed off even that he has to give this guy a payday. You understand what I'm saying? For something that this guy pretty much committed against him. I mean, this was a criminal act, and he got away with it. Something that Louis Harold, Record didn't get away with. You understand what I'm saying?
And you know, I'm glad you said, go to talk. Harold, you, and you've looked, as a guy that's fought, as a world champion, as a guy, the greatest matchmaker in the history of MSG, you probably would defer to Terry, but you know, what does it say about Aaron, Bob Arum? And we want to say happy birthday to Bob Arum, who's 80 next week. He, you know, Don King is older than him. He's 80 next year. I mean, what does it say about Arum to want to have a guy like this? You know, and he's got this guy too much. And I've said this, and you've concurred, Harold, and Lady A. If Antonio Margarito was a Don King fighter, him and Don King would both be banned from boxing.
Right. But it's what it says about Aaron, and there's nothing new about Aaron. Money. That's all it is money.
Aaron is another criminal, too, man.
Right, and he is. And the fact that he's what he's doing. Aaron can see, let's think about this, okay? It's like me, you going to jail. Mel, I can get you out of jail. But if you come out of jail, you got to do everything I tell you to do. You got to work for me for $100 a week, and you got to do whatever I tell you to do. Now, you in jail. Now, you want to come outside in the real world? What? Margarito's in a situation. We can get his license back.
Hold on a second.
I can get you a championship fight.
Hold on, okay, gang, who's ever got that background noise, I need it to be deleted. I don't know if that's you, Cisco, but I need the background noise deleted. And Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show. It is a boxing special this Saturday, Madison Square Garden, as with the renovations, the first major fight since the renovations, Miguel Cotto and Antonio Margarito, anybody in boxing, unless you've been on the planet, for off this planet, you know the story here. And once again, we're picking up with Harold Weston Jr., former world champion, and matchmaker Madison Square Garden. And you say that this doesn't sit well, really, saying what Bob Arum is about, Harold?
Well, I mean, yeah, like I said before, speak on Bob Arum, how Bob Arum works. Well, Bob Arum is about money, okay? And he can get you cheap. He wants to do that. And he can get these two guys cheap, especially Margarito. He probably got Margarito for $5 because the situation is that Margarito needed the championship fight. And Bob Arum had the connections, and he can get him the license and all this stuff and pay for it. So Margarito took the $5 and was happy to take the $5. And Arum, he's doing it on pay-per-view. We don't know what they might. We know the guard is sold out, so that's a good plus for them already. So basically, it's saying all that, you know, if Arum can make like more like $7, $8, $10 million out the deal, because he ain't got to pay Margarito that much money. He only gained $5, so that's all it takes.
Cisco, and we're going to talk to George Willis, who did a piece today. I don't know if you know, Harold, that Luis Resto is trying to get a license to be a second in boxing. And a lot of what Willis said, too, is what I've been saying, most other people have been saying, Cisco, that this guy shouldn't even be in boxing.
Well, I mean, he shouldn't be in boxing. Well, Margarito shouldn't be in boxing either. I mean, you know what? The way shit is nowadays, man, you know, forget about it. I mean, if they're going to let Margarito fight, they might as well give Luis Resto a license to be second in the ring. I mean, let him work. Let him do something. I mean, they gave Margarito a chance. Give the guy a chance. This is long gone. And, you know, this is just the state of boxing today. I mean, you let these guys get away with murder. Might as well just let all these guys just, you know, take steroids, get your hands wrapped or whatever. You know what I mean? There's no respect for the sport anymore, you know?
Like how the bottom line is money. It's always money green, especially when it comes to pro sports. Money green, guys will do anything for the money. Like you said, they sold the garden out. Who knows what the pay-per-view sales will be. Bottom line is, like you said, Bob, I'm going to make a lot of money with this Rumble. Simple as that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. And he really had to pay these guys that much money. I mean, he might pay Cotto, extra $500,000, but he didn't have to go into the million situation to make it happen. And because, I mean, I can tell you, if Arum paid this whole show cost Arum $5 million, that's going to be a lot of money.
You think so, Harold? Really that low?
Hey, he don't have to pay. Margarito's just glad to be fighting. You got to understand, he done lost his last three fights. How did he fight? And then he fight for a championship again?
Wow, Harold, that low, you think? $5 million?
$1 million goes a long ways in Mexico.
I guess you're right.
Let's count the money he's already made since he came back with the championship. So he done made a couple of $1 million just coming back.
Right.
Yeah, Margarito.
On my case when I say this, Doc's going to say, oh, here we go again. Hey, Doc, you ready? This has the potential to be fight of the year.
Fight of the year?
That's right. This is going to be an absolute war while the last lady, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but you know what? I think, and Harold will attest to this. I think once you get emotions involved, I really don't see it going the distance, because guys aren't going to go in there and fight like tacticians. They're just going to go in there, throw punches, and
I think those are distance, but what I'm saying is, for as long as it lasts,
be
bombed away, man. They'll be letting SmackDown. I'm
going to say something. Margarito never took off those sunglasses, yo. First press conference, all press conferences, he's been wearing those sunglasses, dude.
You're 100% right. Even today.
He's hiding something.
Even today, those sunglasses stayed on.
Yep.
He's always like that, though. He's always like that.
No.
He's always wearing sunglasses.
No. I met him when he fought Cotto the first time. He never wore sunglasses. Okay?
Yo, Cisco, as you say never. That, as you say never. That, I'm looking. I see a picture because I remember Gilberto Ortiz from working on boxing, the Latin side, was the interpreter for him there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. He didn't. I've never seen him use sunglasses until now. Never.
No. He's wearing sunglasses
he had
like
those operations, you know. That's the
yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
too. I mean,
he's wearing sunglasses like Evangelista Cotto was wearing them after Cotto beat his butt. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
He's hiding something under those glasses. I mean, that eye doesn't look too great. I know you saw that on 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the sparring sessions between him and Omar Henry and the other guys he was sparring with, it didn't look like he was kicking ass. They looked like they were kicking his ass. So I don't know. And you know, we know that Margarito is not the same. He had his orbital bone smashed, not fractured, smashed, and he had reconstructive surgery to his face. You know, so
let's not forget that Bob Arum gave him his doctor, his eye doctor.
Right.
So Bob Arum's doctor was the doctor that evaluated him. He gave him his doctor. He told his doctor, check this guy out. He has a new lens in his eye.
Right,
his surgery.
You think that after surgery you're better than you were before? Hell no.
I'll tell you this much: if
things go bad in the beginning of this fight where Margarito's face starts to look even terrible and things just start he just doesn't look as competitive as we thought it was. It was definitely because they let this fight go on because of money and they couldn't stop it because they would lose a lot of money, and they would rather risk Margarito's health, which is you know, something that Cotto would love to take advantage of anyway.
Well, to some degree, I do believe that may be why the New York State Athletic Commission actually, to kind of CYA, to cover themselves, might have been like, we're going to deny him the license. But then again, at the same time, Cotto's response was, well, guess what? If it's not in New York, I'm not going to fight. So they were forced to kind of make this happen in New York, or they weren't going to get the fight.
Right.
Now,
and not only that, but Howard Wester will tell you, as a former champion himself and as a former professional athlete, I will tell you that ever since that rematch was announced, made whatever, steams has been steadily coming out of Cotto's ears. Like Howard said, he wants this. Not just for the money, but he wants to lay a smackdown on this guy that will be remembered through the ages. Trust me.
Right.
Cotto never wanted to give him a payday. That's why he really didn't want to give him the rematch. He actually was a little bit reluctant on giving him the fight. But then Emmanuel Stewart practically spoke in his ear and told him, look, man, you know, you have to fight. You have to get some kind of redemption in your career. I mean, either Pacquiao or Margarito. And he went down the road of Margarito. I mean, look at Margarito.
Pacquiao, then he got knocked out by Pacquiao, and then now he's got Margarito.
Yeah.
Well, he's talking about he has the two losses he's had has been to Pacquiao and Margarito.
And Margarito.
Emmanuel
right.
said, hey, you want to rectify them, so you got to fight either or. Now, it came to the point, though, now Muscles, Cisco Kid here in our Western theme, that there was some talk that if Margarito did not get the passing mark to fight this fight in New York City, that
I just mentioned that.
They were going to take the fight to Texas, but
right.
now Harold, this is an amazing thing. Margarito, not Margarito, Compromiso,
Cotto
had said that if the fight is not in Madison Square Garden, I'm not fighting.
Right.
So he was willing to walk away from it, and somehow, which to a certain degree, Harold, you maybe kind of question how sincere is his revenge. I mean, it seems that what Cisco just said here, he didn't want to give this guy the opportunity to make another big payday. He didn't want to give this guy an opportunity to. Once again, being the limelight. I mean, the stigma of being a cheat, the stigma of being a guy that's dirty, that's on Margarito. So that's not ever going to come off. So he was willing, if push came to shove, and he couldn't get his way. I mean, I'm thinking here too, Harold, is there a problem between Aram and Cotto?
Well, yeah, it is a little problem because he knows that Aram favors the guy Margarito because he done put him in several fights. With one thing, he knows the guy shouldn't even have a license. That's one thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, that Aram is backing this guy like he sliced bread, like his new sliced bread on the market. You know, it doesn't go well with Margarito. Right. One thing I like about Margarito, and this is what a lot of fighters, he's a very decent guy. He's a guy that's sincere. He doesn't take the sport, you know, very lightly. He works hard at what he does. And as I've been getting to know this, I talk to a lot of Latino guys, he's a good guy. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have no wild ways about himself. And he's trying to be more of a businessman now in Puerto Rico and everything. So, you know, I got good signs from people that knows him and around him. My whole thing about him is that you know, he wants to fight Doc. You gotta understand about athletes, especially fighters. Mm. Doc, he wanted to fight because he wants to hurt this guy, okay? After now he found out that this guy didn't beat him fairly, and that's the word, he didn't beat him fairly. He wants to now beat this guy so bad that he wants this to go. Remember, because when we get older and you walking around and you know Joe Schmo beat your butt 20 years ago, that goes with you for 20 years for the rest of your life. So whenever party we go to or any affair, he's sitting up there saying, well, I beat his behind the last time. You know what I'm saying?
Harold, So Harold, that means when Vito Antiferme walks out there, he's still feeling it.
Oh yeah.
He said Harold was a round ball in the military, took leave, beat my butt, and went back to fight for his country. God duh. As Don King said, only in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we are honored here today. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show. One of the greatest photographers. And one of the other prizes of Panama outside of Duran, the Panama Canal, Rod Crew, and Marion Rivera is my long dear friend, Arturo Conte Lacati. And I want him for two reasons here. And one of them, Arturo, so good to have you here. What's the word on this fight in Puerto Rico, Cotto against Margarito? What's the feeling? What's the vibe there?
The vibes back here in Puerto Rico is that it's all Cotto. It's 99% Cotto. Yeah, the average fan here, and I say fan, and even the reporters, doesn't give Margarito a chance. Okay, my piece, which will appear tomorrow in Latino Boxing, I pointed out here that determination is going to be is what's going to solve this fight. And I pick Margarito. Let me explain it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Cotto has a problem. It was once published by an Anglo boxing writer. Cotto is not a coward. No. But he doesn't have that will once on the fire. You know, he quit. You know, Duran quit, but Duran quit because Leonard wasn't willing to fight. Cotto quits when once he's under pressure and he's bleeding, he quits. He's a quitter.
Mm.
If he didn't have to quit with you take the count.
Yeah, but I beg to differ on that, man.
Both of his fights, he wasn't counted out. The fight was going pretty fair with Margarito. It was pretty close, and he quit. Give me a reason.
Yeah, but you know what? I beg to differ on that, man. I mean, look at the situation that he was in. You know, with a guy who possibly had loaded gloves. I mean, look at the Billy Collins fight, a guy who was also undefeated, and his face got busted up in that fight, too. You know, Cotto. Cotto was getting really beat really, really, really bad. I mean, the guy was practically beating out his eyes and ears and shit.
I think in addition to, if I could just interject, I think additionally to that, I mean, even if you go back early on in Cotto's career, he's been hit. His chin has always been a question, and somehow he's always found ways to win the fight. I mean, if you go back to the Clady fight, I mean, to the fight that he had, Puerto Rico with Chop Chop Corley, he got hit. And, you know, I think it was the third or fourth round, okay, and he stayed in the fight. So he fought through it. I disagree with that.
Hold it. Let's be honest. I was in Puerto Rico. He had help from the referee, Falou. There's no reason to stop that fight.
That's true, but he wasn't going to win it. I mean, Cotto was back in the fight when he stopped it.
But he still did not have to stop the fight. There was no reason to stop that fight. He had help.
Okay.
If you look back at that fight, Arthur's right. That's a fight that he was losing, and the referee
He wasn't losing that fight.
But he wasn't winning that fight at all.
What are you talking about?
But he got
that
hurt.
Wait a second. Tito got hurt. Tito got dropped, what, about six times, seven times?
Tito always got up and finished the guy. But Tito fights back.
And Cotto did, too.
Fights back.
So did
Cotto. It's one fight I saw him fight back. And they could have stopped that fight with this young kid, I think, from Colombia.
Actually, Ricardo Torres had him hurt worse.
That's right.
Under
normal circumstances, they'd have stopped that fight. He took some shots to the head that they could have stopped that fight. They'd have stopped the fight and conned the mob, the crowd. That's all. When I see Cotto bleeding and fighting, then I change my opinion of him. He's a good fighter. He's not a coward. But when the going gets tough and he starts to, and he doesn't hide it either, he tell you, I'll do anything to win. Matter of fact, the last commissioner that we had, I think it was Ron something. What was his name?
Ron Scott Stevens.
Yeah. Ron Scott Stevens. Cotto said here in Puerto Rico that he would do anything to win. I had Ron Scott Stevens' cell phone, and I called him. He wasn't at his desk. He was upstate. And I asked him, what you think about that? And in New York, you cannot lose a fight on a low blow. Ron Stevens changed that after he spoke to me. He says, on a low blow, that if the doctor states that this fighter is unable to continue fighting on account of a low blow, the fighter who delivers the low blow would be disqualified. Look, and he warned Cotto at that in his dressing room. Okay? Cotto would do anything to win. No maybe about that. He'd thumb Cotto, that Margarita, thumb him open. Watch that. Look out for that.
Dr. Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Depth of the show, Antonio Conte, joining us. And I had you for another reason, too, Arthur, as I'm going to we're going to do a quick break here, come back, talk football lightheartedly, and then we're going to listen to George Willis talk about Louis Resto, and you and Harold have an opinion about that. And a lot of what you, because a lot of you don't know, Arthur was the man who handled the all of the glove situations here for boxing.
Which Harold is that?
The only one, Harold Weston Jr.
Hey! How you doing, Harold? You don't remember me, do you?
Not really.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Grant, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't anybody move.
We're
going to
do three videos
today,
the first,
Thursday,
the second, and Friday.
I need that background noise checking out. Is that you, Cisco?
That's not me.
Okay, whoever it is.
Broadcasting to the world. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk
radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
They're riding back in the posse, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports and Deputy Show, Mel Cosell, Lady A, the Cisco Kid, Harold Weston Jr.,
what up?
And Antonio Locante are all here. Gentlemen, we're going to take a, we're going to talk a little football for the minute. Larry Hardesty is ESPN sideline reporter for New York Jets, greatest African-American sportscaster in history of New York City. And we got a chance to talk to Larry after the Jets won a football game that they had to win, after they won a football game that was a must-win, after they won a football game that has prolonged their season, it may be for nothing else but another week. But Larry talks about the Jets, and he talks about football. Let's go and talk to the ESPN sideline reporter, greatest African-American sportscaster in the history of Big Apple, New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Larry Hardesty.
Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network Show, the legendary Larry Hardesty, greatest African sportscast in the history of New York City Radio. Did you want to add something there, Larry?
I love the show. I love Sports in Depth. I love Doc Stanley. Before him, there was none. After him, there should be no more. And for the Blake Radio Network to have this program on says a lot about them. Mr. Blake, Mrs. Blake, you all are doing the right thing. Keep on informing the community about what's going on in sports news and information throughout the diaspora, the United States, Caribbean, the world. That's what this is about. The Blake Radio Network.
Came from the greatest ever do it. Larry, season saved for a week?
At least for a week. Look, the Jets have to, they're in the tough spot. They have to win all their conference games minimum. You know, they had to win today. They've got another win, the game obviously against Kansas City in a couple of weeks. They got to win at the end of the season in Miami, and Jet fans will be sweating about that one. So they have to win their conference games, Doc. There's no question about that. And they need to win them all. 9-7, 10-6 may not get it done for a playoff spot in the AFC. You look at what's going on in the North. You've got Cincinnati with four losses. You've got Pittsburgh and Baltimore battling it out. One's going to win the division. One of the wild cards are going to come from there. There's no wild card going to come from the West. Whoever wins the division is going to go out there. And so the wild card, if the Jets want to get a wild card, they have to win all their games.
You know, Larry, you talked about how things have changed. New England, big day today for the Jets. They're playing Philly, who's now leading 10-0. But you know, them losing don't mean nothing. You're talking about other teams, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and the Ravens.
The only thing the Jets can do now is they have to win their games. You do what you're supposed to do, and you worry about what other people do later. So they won today, luckily. Next week they got to go in against Washington. They have to have the same desperate play of execution, Doc. They need to win these games because when they come back here on Christmas Eve against the Giants, which is probably going to be, that's the only over 500 team they're going to face as of right now, is the Giants on Christmas Eve. You look at the Giants, they may need that game with all the injuries. They've got New Orleans tomorrow night. They don't have Ahmad Bradshaw. Their running game has been suffering without him. You know what? Let me just take a step back for a second.
Step back, Larry. Step back.
If I had a Christmas wish, it would be to be Ahmad Bradshaw's agent. He's going to get paid. Okay, you look at how the Giants' running game has suffered since he's been gone. Brandon Jacobs talked a lot, has been unable to produce.
29 yards, Larry.
I didn't want to embarrass him, but you didn't have to give the stats like that. You didn't have to treat him like that. I thought he was a good friend of yours. He put the stats out there like that. But anyway, Ahmad Bradshaw, I would like to be his agent because he's going to get paid. But the Giants' inability to run the ball, which makes Eli Manning one-dimensional and puts a lot of pressure on the Giants' defense to make some plays, and they're out on the field a little bit longer. You know, when you're running the ball and you're moving the clock, you're just marching down the field. Everything is good. When you have to have short plays, look at the Jet defense on the field. Look at the time of possession today. Going into the last drive, Buffalo had over 35 minutes time of possession, the Jets 17. so when you consider that they were able to win this game, it's amazing. Time of possession is a big thing. What do you think about saying yesterday? His psyche has been thrown around. His confidence has been sort of beaten up. But there's, you know, Rex kind of said some positive things. Did he come back to earth in the second half and maybe for his career?
He played better in the second half. There's no question about that. And in the fourth quarter, he just does stuff in the fourth quarter. Doc, he's good on drives in the fourth quarter. I don't know what it is. He's throwing the ball all over the place, low in the dirt, high and outside. You just don't know where the ball's going in the fourth quarter. Boom, he hits this one, he hits that one, boom, 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 he marches down the field. So, but really, to be honest, when you think about it, the ability to run the ball on the play before the scoring drive, the ability to run the ball, set up the play action, set up low screens and stuff like that, that's what he does best. When he can do the play action, roll out to the left or roll to the right, throw the ball on the move with the running game spelling him, that's when he's at his best. So they were able to do that on the first drive where they took the lead, and then unfortunately special teams and fumbles gave it back, and then they had to come back on the drive again. And, you know, he puts the fact that he's horrible behind him. He just uses his ability to forget bad plays and bounce back from them. It's been tested. He's pretty good.
Last one. Cam Newton. He's been having a pretty good year, hasn't he?
How about it?
What's that?
No, you're saying he's going to be a good pro. He's done well considering what they have. And, you know, he's only going to get better. Look, this is his first year. And you understand what he's seeing and everything. Now the big thing is going to be how he adjusts from this year to next year. Because people will have a whole offseason to study film on him, to make adjustments where he's going to run. They're going to shut down some of those run lanes. They're going to force him to be a passer because he can run the ball. He wants to be a passer. I mean, it's not like he can't throw it. He just wants to run. He wants to throw it. But, you know, to force him to be just one-dimensional, that's what you want to do if you're him. Because you look at their weapons. They got Steve Smith at one receiver.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. Larry Hardesty talking about Cam Newton and the New York Jets. Let's go back to Larry, and let's go back to football for a minute or two.
Thrower, not a runner, because a runner, he can just disrupt your whole situation, your whole secondary, your whole defensive front. As a passer, you can pretty much control where you want him to go. You can take certain things away from him, give him certain things. So you want to make him a passer.
Is he the second Michael Vick?
Not as fast as Michael Vick. I like Michael Vick. I like Michael Vick's ability to run. I think Michael Vick is more effective passing on the run from what I've seen from him. I haven't seen a lot of him now. This is what I've seen. But from what I've seen, he's more effective. I thought Michael Vick's more effective on the run and can gain more. But Cam Newton, you know, bigger. He's going to be good. He's going to be real good once he learns how to play the game. He doesn't know how to play the game yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest ever do it. Larry Hardesty, ESPN sideline reporter, greatest African sportscast in the history of New York City radio, which makes him the best ever. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blink Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth Show. Jets with a big win here today. Save this season, as Larry said, at least for a week. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blink Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth Show. JETS Jets for one more week.
Mel Cosell, your thoughts on Cam Newton, your thoughts on Larry Hardesty's assessment.
Well, Doc, when I say Cam is, I don't know, a phenom. He seems to have made the transition from college to the pros relatively easily. What I'm interested to see about Cam, though, he seems to have all the physical tools, and he's pretty cerebral. I'd like to see what happens, hopefully, in the years to come when he has a better supporting cast to really see what he can do. You know, it's one thing when you're like a one-man island yourself and you're trying to get things done. But, you know, when you have some people who are like your, you know, basically your partners in getting things done and people that you can depend on around you and have a really good supporting cast on, Tim Cam's going to really do his thing, and he's going to be very, very much fun to watch. As for the JETS Jets, I know, you know something, you know who the Jets are, Doc? Do you really want to know who the Jets are? The
Please
Jets are Zab Judah. You never know which one is going to show up, okay? That's who the Jets are. The Jets are Zab Judah. One day they can look like, hey, I mean, if all things are running and Sanchez is throwing the ball and Plastico is catching the ball like he did in that 3-touchdown performance, guys looking great, passes working, whatever. Then you have days where they look like they just aren't ready to play. So, like I said, that's who the Jets remind me of, Zab Judah.
Bob Arum announced today, it was announced that he's going to have celebrated next week his 80th birthday, and he, along with Don King this year, obtained age 80. This fight, beyond the criminal allegations, the realization that he was suspended, the Mexican against the Puerto Rican, the Latin macho, Bob Arum says the guys, without question, do not like each other.
Well, that's from the ABC. The best Marguerite. Where would you rank this match? Obviously, these guys don't like each other. It's a big grudge match. Where would you rank him in comparison to some of the other fights you promoted?
Hagler-Hearns is the closest.
Why would you use that for that?
Because they almost got into a fist fight in St. Louis on the tour, and they hated each other. Marvin kept saying, I don't want to be in the same room with him.
That was an amazing revelation that kind of disdained it that Hagler had. Real quick, looking at this fight before we talk to George Willis, we'll start with the top. Lady A, your pick and why?
My pick?
Mm-hmm.
I got a feeling it's going to be Cotto, but I see it going by decision. I see a decision. Cotto by decision.
Mm. Harold?
Yeah, I see Cotto, but I can see Cotto stopping him in the late rounds, but definitely winning by decision because I think now that he feels more comfortable. I don't think Margarito has got that punching power as everybody thought he has because, like I said, in the last three fights he has lost, and in the last three fights he hasn't hurt nobody in any round of any of his fights. Even the fight that he did won, that little warm-up fight they gave him in Mexico, he went to
Robert Garcia.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, basically, I think those hand wraps on, he ain't got those hand wraps on, he's in trouble. So
hey, Harold.
I look for a decision on get stopped, especially his eyes bother him, too.
Doc, I just want to say something to Harold. Harold, at the press conference today, Margarito told Cotto he hits like a girl.
Yeah,
I mean,
he sure did. Some hits like
a girl. I mean, even if a girl hits you 100 times, you're going to feel it sooner or later.
I'll hit you, Harold. You let me hit you, Harold.
I'm a loving man. I'm not a fighter.
And not only that, if you hit him, it's not going to be 100 times. Let's go. Your pick here.
Cotto. I think that Cotto. There's several intangibles. Harold Weston just made one. His punching power is not the same, of course. He's not beating people up like he was. Two is his face, you know, the serious injury from the Pacquiao fight may play in a factor. Things may be, you know, even though Margarito supposedly shows his great chin, which I don't think he had, he was knocked out by Shane Mosley, who Cotto beat by decision. You know, if the blueprint for beating Margarito is there, if Cotto implements it, he can get a knockout. He definitely can get a knockout. If he plays it safe, then we'll see a Cotto decision. But
didn't Manny Pacquiao hurt him in the fight when he fought him, Margarito?
In that fight, in the sixth round, he had his orbital bone already.
Well, they hurt each other. They hurt each other.
He didn't really hurt Pacquiao in that fight.
Cisco, you've been away. There's two things that happened here. You don't disagree with the doctor, or you'd be riding back out in the rain. So, you know, you got to do something that don't go my way. You just kind of start
good.
Speaking
it's
in Spanish.
It's all good, Doc. Yo, you forgot something. You forgot something, Doc. I got an umbrella.
Hey, this is on this fight, Doc.
Go ahead, Winnie. Yeah.
Okay. I want to say this quickly, okay? As I told you, Doc, when this fight was first made, the rematch and the revenge, if this was my sport, we'd hold it in a 15-foot-high steel cage. Number two, this truly is a revenge rumble. And as the great Harold Weston said, he doesn't really care what Margarito's making for this fight. He doesn't really care that Margarito's making a payday for this fight. What he cares about, as the great Harold said, is going in there and laying the true smackdown on Margarito.
Right.
He has an attitude on so many different terms, it's not laughable. Number one, he's pissed off at the fact that he thinks that, like you said, his life was put in danger. He thinks his gloves were loaded. It's the worst beating that he's ever taken as a professional. got rid of his undefeated record, now puts a 1 next to his that record instead of a 0. He feels he was wrong. He feels he has something to prove. He doesn't like Margarito anyway. And I'm telling you, man, that this is the perfect fight for the fans. The fans are going to love this Rumble. It's going to be a barn burner for as long as it lasts.
Well, I mean, the guard is sold out. Now, I mean, everybody's acting like Margarito doesn't have a chance, but Arturo Vacante, you like Margarito, and you have him winning the fight.
Yeah, I like Margarito. I've seen Cotto. You know, Cotto's lifestyle is not that of a fighter. And everybody in Puerto Rico knows it. You know, I live in Puerto Rico. Let me finish with Cotto. Cotto tell you point blank, when I'm not fighting, I live like the average guy. You know, he drinks. When I tell you he drinks, he drinks. You want to find him? There's a bar where you could find him. You know, come on, folks. You know, he could pull this one off. But he is not the quarter of yesterday. Neither is Margarito. Now, I had picked Marvin Hagler to walk through Sugar Ray on account of an eye problem. That wasn't the case. If the New York State Athletic Commission gave him an okay, that eye is darn good. Because the chances there of a lawsuit, like in the case of Willie Clausen, is very much alive. That eye is sound, believe me, and he's going to win. You know, the New York State Athletic Commission, always remember the Willie Clausen fight. They got sued. And they said a lot of court.
Can you tell us more about that? That got sued and everything?
So if they okay his eyes, okay, and they're not in condition, they're setting themselves up for a lawsuit. I am sure his eyes are in good condition, and I don't know what's Cotto's plan B, but I know his plan A is to get at the eye, even if he uses the lacing and the gloves. Okay? You know. So let's see. And Margarito is a determined fighter. He will fight. Cotto is not that type of fighter. When it's going to get rough, Cotto says it. I am not going to. I want to live to fight another day.
We need to have a show.
Well, what he said was that I'm not prepared to die in the ring to try to win a fight.
That's right. You don't die in the ring. The moment you lace on a pair of gloves, the moment you go into a ring, your life is at stake. Otherwise, leave the sport alone. It's not a game for sissies.
Harold, he's talking your talk. I mean, you said
it's not a game for sissies.
Harold, he's talking your talk, Harold.
Well, no, I agree with 100%. I mean,
you lace on a pair of gloves, and you know what it's all about, Harold.
Yeah,
you're in there to fight, and when the going gets rough, you go, you squat on your knees and wave no. Ah, come on. I have seen Rocky Graziano and Tony Zale 3 times. Eyelids split wide open, and they just keep banging away. Those are fighters. Come on. Come on, Cotto. Give me a break.
You have to remember that these are highly also, just because they're fighters, they're also highly skilled, highly paid athletes, okay, with family behind them. Everybody.
What
knows
you trying
dangers.
To tell me? The other guy didn't have family.
Everybody knows the dangers of going up those streets.
Rooney, Malcolm
Sell, okay?
Malcolm Sell. I'm going with Harold. Harold said, "When you put the bad boy," Harold has said a million times on this show, "I was willing to die," and then he said, "We were all willing to die."
Die. That's right.
D-I-E. In fact, Harold said,
stop,
you're dead
stop.
From round 12 to 15 anyway,
stop.
Right,
all
Harold?
Stop. All of
you're
the
right.
fighters know what the
you're
risk are when you step up those few steps, okay? However, you have to remember, these are professional athletes. You know, this isn't the Romans and the Lions and the Coliseum.
What does that have to do with it?
You know, these
what
are professional athletes.
Rooney, as they say,
what
you
what
don't hear me.
What got to do with it?
You don't hear me, Rooney.
Wait.
You don't hear me?
Wait.
What religion has to do with it?
Yeah.
The Lions and the Coliseum, they ain't got nothing to do with boxing.
Right.
Nobody forces you to fight.
Hold on, Rooney. We're going to listen to George Willis, and the reason why I also had Arthur here, he's going to give some history on this situation, too. George Willis wrote an interesting article today, and Lady A brought it to my attention. Everybody's commending him. And as you know, Louis Risto, along with Panama Louis, and man, Panama is still maintaining innocence, okay? Got banned from boxing, wasn't allowed to go in the corner. And George Willis did a good story today.
Take review numbers for the...
Let's listen to George Willis talk about the fight and his story today.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports and Death is the show. The legendary George Willis, one of 22 columnists, up from 11, so it's 100% different. Big fight, but there's just so much speculation. You know, George, the thing here, say what you may, there's a lot of sentiment. This guy shouldn't be in a ring again.
Well, Doc, I think you're right. I mean, there's not a lot of talk about that right now, but, you know, I was one who came out a long time ago when it first happened, saying the guy shouldn't fight again because of basically what was found by the California Commission after the Shane Mosley fight. You know, they found some illegal substance in his wraps. Whether or not how he got there, he's the fighter, he's responsible for it. So if you want to keep things even, fair, you know, the guy shouldn't fight again. But he's gotten his license to fight, second big mega fight since all that happened. So here we are.
Yeah, that's the thing, and all your articles are great. And you said some things today. Did you want to reiterate once again your article today?
Well, my article today was about Louis Resto, and he was going down to New York State Athletic Commission to try to apply for a second license. As most people know, Resto fought Billy Collins in 1983,
right.
Had some padding removed from his gloves, and he and his trainer, Panama Louis, were basically banned from boxing indefinitely. Resto hasn't been able to get a license as a boxer or a trainer since then, so he's trying to go back today and apply, and we'll see how it goes. But I talked to him yesterday, and he thinks it's a little unfair that he's still banned from boxing while Margarito is now fighting again.
Big money in the title.
Being able to make millions of dollars and fight for a title in Madison Square Garden. So, you know, and on the surface, not that the cases are exactly the same, but there are a little bit of
similarities.
Yeah. And so, you know, it is what it is.
You know, I talked to Arthur Locati, who used to work. He said all the gloves for the Latin fights would come to him. He said, you know, there were a lot of improprieties in the gloves. You know, some had less padding than others, some had more. So he said, you know, with that being said and done, you know, there's a good chance that there was no tampering with the gloves in the Resto case. And then you just said, here's a guy been banned for life, and what Margarito did is far more severe.
Right. You know, I'm not here to, you know, make excuses for Resto or, you know, be in favor of whatever the commission does. That's for them to decide. And Margarito was, you know, like I said, I don't know what else I could say other than I don't think he should be fighting, but he is fighting, and it's an event in New York City, so, you know, that's why we're here.
George, who's not going to fight?
Well, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to have to go with Cotto by decision, basically, because I think maybe he learned enough in that first fight to stay away from all the damage he sustained in the later rounds, you know. He was winning that fight for the first 6-7 rounds, and finally the pressure of Margarito and the power of Margarito caught up to him. Whether or not you believe Margarito had loaded wraps in that fight, I don't know if that'll ever be proven, but, you know, certainly it makes for a compelling fight Saturday night.
George, how much will the absence of Emmanuel Stewart be somewhat advantageous for Margarito and you know, a detriment to Cotto?
Well, I don't think it'll be that much of a factor because Manny was only with him for, what, one fight?
Yeah.
At the most. So it's not like they've had this bond together that Cotto's going to miss him. You know, Cotto's had a couple of three different trainers since the parting with his uncle. So he's sort of used to a change of seconds in his corner. So I don't really think that'll be a big factor. More of a factor of what has this guy, Pedro Diaz, brought to his skills that he'll be able to implement against Margarito, and we'll just have to wait and see.
George, the recent passing of the great Joe Frazier, thoughts and reflections on a great champion and human being?
Well, I got to, you know, visit with Joe several times over the last couple of years at different events, and, you know, just a great guy. You know, I grew up a big Ali fan. When he had Ali Frazier won, I was rooting for Ali like crazy. But, you know, if I had to pick a second favorite fighter, it probably would be Joe Frazier, because he had just embodied everything you admire in a fighter. You had great courage, great determination, great respect for the game, great respect for his competitors. And even after he retired and in later years, he always treated people very nicely and just was a great man.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be said to you. My friend, thanks a lot, and it's always a pleasure to be in your company.
All right, man. We'll see you ring, sir.
Okay. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show, George Willis. No more needs to be said.
Arthur, a couple of things here, too, and we got you here. And you're a guy, I mean, you photographed some of the greatest writers of all time. Your thoughts on the great Joe Frazier?
Joe Frazier? He was a good fighter. But not much skills. Mm-hmm. It was all brute force. Mm-hmm. Not if it, once you went up against a guy like Foreman, you saw what happened.
Mm. But wasn't Foreman more like the exception, though? I mean, George was a monster.
Yeah, but Frazier wasn't an exception, but I mean, Foreman. But he wasn't hard to beat. Ali proved that.
Mm-hmm.
Ali knocked him out.
And the resto thing, too, because, Harold, you've been a big proponent of the injustice suffered by Panama Lewis and resto. And you talked, too, about the gloves, how they could have, you know, malfunctioned. And, Arthur, you talked about your position at that time. You talked about, you know, because you were the man to handle all the gloves in Everlast at that particular time.
Okay, Everlast, let me tell you, my dad and Jack Gullum, who was the founder of Everlast, were close.
Mm.
And so Nat Fletcher had recommended, Gullum was traveling, he was peddling mouthpieces. And he was coming down to Panama, and Fletcher told him to look me up. He came, I was on the air, got up, and we went around as far as Nicaragua peddling these mouthpieces, okay? Then Gullum said, listen, anything you want, you know, like trunks, anything, just call me. That time the office was in Manhattan, wasn't in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
The Everlast had a contract, the Army and the Navy had a contract with the major stores, and I told Jack, he said, listen, don't let that bother you. G.I. Goods, you can't tell them you want a green trunk with a purple stripe. The guy, the witness, what's your size? 32, here it is. We give sizes. Says you can get at the fighters and get the color trunks, whatever they want. You call me, and I will go into the factory, get it, and mail it to you. Well, I made more money than I was able to take care of my family, mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Everlast. Everlast meant a lot to me. So when I became elected councilman, most naturally, we appoint the boxing commission. We also, I appoint the gloves. See, the gloves had to be Everlast. But I had to keep in hand 6 pairs at least, because on more than one occasion, they would weigh at 12 o'clock Sunday, and the fight would be Sunday afternoon at 7. They'd rush down to my house, because when they measured the gloves, one glove would be weighing, that time they used to use 6-ounce gloves, one would be weighing 5 ounces and the other one 7. So we would match it out, work it out, I would have the gloves. When the resto case came up, I was about to get involved, but I could never go into a courtroom and say anything negative about Everlast.
Hmm.
Still, they use Everlast to convict him. What did they expect Everlast to say? That something was wrong with the gloves? They use Everlast. Then, to boot, you ban him for life. I don't agree with that. That's what I don't agree with. If you, did you agree that, you know, that something went wrong, you punish him. the punishment must fit the crime, and that wasn't the case with Panama Lewis.
Harold,
you read stories that the fighter that Panama Lewis whipped with his boy turned to drinking. That's not it. I don't think you lose a fight, you become an alcoholic. He just became an alcoholic, died in a car accident, and that's it. Panama Lewis shouldn't be paying for that. You ban him for a certain amount of time, you punish him, but then you should be able to continue. If Margarita is still in boxing, why is Panama Lewis out of boxing? Not fair.
Harold?
Really not.
Well, my feeling is about that. Anybody that does any crime in boxing, they get caught with it like Margarito did, then they should be banned from boxing for life. Anybody that's been caught and they put some charges up against you like they did with Panama and Louis Resgo, they really didn't have evidence against the two guys.
No, they didn't.
And it was really a kangaroo court with the boxing commission because they had already made up their mind what they were going to do. Okay,
that's right.
See, I felt that, you know, they were wrongly and just being convicted. And then on top of that, then when they brought the charges against him and brought him in civil court, then it was definitely ridiculous. So, but, you know, my whole thing about that, I mean, here one guy, Margarito, gets his license back. He's suspended for 1 year, which is ridiculous. And he gets caught with the gloves, with the stuff on his hands being wrapped. And everything, and he comes back, and when he comes back, he fights for a world championship. Now, I mean, what are we talking about here? So, you know, that's insane. So my thing is that any man, and I go for any guy that's in a sport, and he gets caught red-handed doing something wrong in that sport, especially something loading somebody's gloves up, like Margarito has, yes, should be banned for life in boxing. So, I'm very highly with this sport. You know, I love boxing. And I think that if you can't come in this sport and fight a fair fight, then you shouldn't be in the sport at all.
Well,
you must
and
be in
that,
a fight.
And that point, I agree with you. You should come clean.
Yeah, you should come clean, and that's what it's all about. And if you can't, then you should get out. If the trainer can't fight, get your fighter prepared and teach him how to really fight, whatever style it is that he knows, and he can't win a fight fairly, he should get out the business. Simple as that.
No, this,
I agree,
I
Charles,
ask
you. You know, when I first heard about the gloves and the Margarito thing, I was wondering if we were going back to the days of Blinky Carbo.
Doc Stanley, Sports Death on the Blake Radio Network, from Soul Sports. Here you go. Doc Stanley, Sports Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Death Show. This is a boxing special. Hey, we've got Arturo LaConte, one of the great photographers and personalities of boxing, live from Puerto Rico. You know Harold Weston, live from Queens. Lady A is here. Mel Cosell is in the house. And it's just, you know, I wanted the author, and we really can't just thank you enough for what you brought into this whole thing. And, you're saying things, you know, it's that old line, Hal, that they say, you know, I remember I was talking with Dick Enberg one time, you know, and if a boxer has cancer, the way the story is written, he got cancer from boxing. If a boxer gets in a car accident, you know, it's like, you know, it's because he couldn't drive any well from boxing. And Dick Enberg said one time, he said, you know what? You know, you got to question those guys when they say, gentlemen, start your engine. Nobody questions the sanity, the intellect of any other sport like they do boxers. And you brought a good point. You know, Collins started drinking like Panama Lewis and his loss drove him to drinking. You know, a guy told me about a story a play he saw last night, Bobby Cassidy, who was a known alcoholic. I mean, so many guys drink, but everything was pointed that the downhill spiral of the guy that lost was all caused because he lost one fight. You know what, man? Your life has got to be pretty messed up if one fight's going to turn your whole life around like that.
That's right.
Harold?
Well,
Billy Collins, actually.
Yeah, well, you got to understand a lot of men is their self-esteem is very low. And the fact is that, you know, when they think they are something which they are not and they lose that major fight, then they go off to the deep end because right at that point, they have nothing else to do. And when you don't train yourself to do other things after life, of things that you're doing, like being a police officer, you should have something else you want to do when you retire. I mean, you know, you got to have something else to move on. So these guys in boxing, they put their whole lives into it. And then when they lose, and then they realize they can't move on no more in life. They have nothing else they have put themselves into. That's when they go off to the deep end, and that's what happens to a lot of people, especially with the men.
Arthur, you what part of Panama are you from originally?
In Panama City, area known as Caledonia.
I want to ask
Harold something.
Go ahead.
About this doctor in the gloves. Back there, years gone by, they would soak the gloves.
Good. How so? He ain't lying.
They would soak the gloves to make it heavy. Now, I remember Lasso was fighting another guy, and they soaked the gloves. But the guy who he was boxing was very shifty. He was like Pep. And this guy with the loaded gloves was swinging and missing. By the third round, his hands were at his side. Too much weight. He wasn't meeting the target. Cordo got whipped because Margarito was able to hit him. And I had published that before. Cordo is an easy target. If he was in the ring with somebody who was crafty like Calderon, he could have dynamite in the gloves. It wouldn't matter because can't find a target.
Also, you bring a point up because, you know, it was a situation. Harold, you got something to say? Harold?
No, I'm just laughing because I'm thinking about it when you're talking about the glove situation because, I mean, I have seen in back in the day where those gloves, the Everlast and other gloves, that were, like I said, they had hair in them, horse hair.
That's right.
I used to watch the guys beat them gloves down, them new gloves coming in.
Put them to the knuckles, that's right.
They beat them gloves down on the wall and scrape them and rub them and everything. And
you're
let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The boxing commissioner would be in the room. And
that's
what's
right.
going on.
Okay.
These are brand new gloves. We got to break them in.
Hey,
Harold, does that go under the heading tricks of the trade?
That's trick of the trade.
Okay.
I'm laughing because I did see a guy one time take the glove into the bathroom and put water into one side.
That's right. You put some you need that weight. Okay.
Oh, God.
Arthur, going back to Panama, it's no doubt that Duran is the greatest fighter to come from Panama, but you had the great Eusebio Pedrosa, and you also had Ismael Laguna. Can you talk about both of those guys?
Okay. Laguna was a fighter with a one-track mind, and he needed the hometown crowd to cheer him on. Without the home crowd following, he just didn't have it. You put the crowd there, you play some salsa music, and Laguna would be at his best.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, what Cord is about to do is what he did when he beat Nando Ramos. Nando Ramos in California, away from Panama. That was the great. He would tell you that was the greatest. That's you know Chung. You remember Chung Romero?
Mm-hmm.
You know Chung. The reporter. No, Chung that does
okay,
the
yeah.
He does
yeah,
he
yeah.
does boxing. He does HBO in Spanish. Chung Romero. Well, that's Laguna's.
He was the guy that had Wanted magazine too, Harold.
That's right. He's in charge. He does HBO Latino boxing.
Oh.
That's Laguna's cousin.
Oh, really? Okay.
I know
Ismael Laguna because when he came to New York, he used to train at our gym all the time. 28.
That's right. No, Pedrosa. He would tell it to you to sit down. Pedrosa said, first when I go in and I do my thing, if it works, I stay clean. If it doesn't work, I go low.
Yeah, well, I saw him go low one time when it wasn't working. I saw him hit my boy Laporte over there.
That's right. That's what he told me.
Low blow.
That's what he says. If it's not working, I go low. I says, yeah. He said you hit him a couple of times.
He went low and stayed low.
He said you hit a man a couple of times down there, and you don't have to hit him a fourth time. You only got to look down there, and he breaks.
And of course, Cholo. How did Iran get that name Cholo, Arthur, you know?
Okay, Cholo means Indian.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Cholo. That's the Indian from the interior.
Uh-huh.
Straight hair. When you hit him, it flies up. That's a Cholo.
That's okay, that black hair.
That black hair, yeah. And those piercing black eyes, that's the Indian. The Indian is a Cholo.
Now, a story I heard was when Ken Buchanan beat Laguna for the title, Duran was in the dressing room and told him, "Don't worry, I'm going to bring it back to Panama." Is that true?
That's right.
Just so everybody knows who doesn't know, all right, Doc Stanley's like favorite like boxer, Duran. He loves Duran.
Yeah, of course. Well, Duran, Duran Ali smacked him around.
Am I right,
Coco?
Am I right?
Hey, listen, Duran Ali, and you know my man. Hey, how she called you? Genuine Gangster. Harold Weston. Harold told me a story I'll never forget.
Why you say
Harold,
that?
Said
he Doc,
was in France.
Me up.
Harold said he was in France, and they started throwing money in the ring. And how you said you wanted to go back and get some of the money?
I was just surprised to see all this money in the ring. I said, and then my father Gil said, "Let's go." I said, "Go." I said, "Don't you?"
By the way, Harold, how's your dad?
Oh, my father
passed
away a while back now.
Oh, yeah, he passed away like 4 years.
Sorry
back.
To hear. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Good man, great man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But I wanted to stay and pick it up. They said, "Get your butt out this ring." Let's go. And everything. And then these guys came in there and swept the money up and everything.
And took it.
Yeah. I didn't know what
you know,
it was about.
To this day, Harold, you know, I watched a lot of you on film. To this day, Harold, I really wish, being a huge fan of boxing, the fans would have really got a kick out of seeing you and Ray Leonard. It would have been a great rumble.
Yeah,
man,
well,
I would have wanted to see Harold fight Hearns again.
That's
what I would have wanted to see.
I got a good shot at Harold and Mambi, Sal Mambi.
Oh, God. That was my worst fight.
That was your worst fight?
Yeah.
You lost that fight?
I had 102 fever that night.
Oh.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah, I was sick as a dog. Cause at that time, the flu had just came out. I didn't know what it was. I mean, I got up one morning. I went running, ran 5 miles, came back, laid down, and was getting ready to go to the gym and couldn't get out the bed. My chest just said, boom, you ain't going nowhere. And I started coughing, and I just couldn't move. And my father said, "Well, you know, stay home." I called the gym and said, "Stay home, and we'll talk tomorrow." Talked yesterday, I couldn't move. And so they came and got me, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You got the flu." And I said, "What is that?" And they said, "Well, it's a new thing that's gone around that knocks you dead." And I said, "Well, I got to fight in 2 more weeks." And he said, "Fight?" He said, "You'd be lucky if you'd be able to walk talking about fighting." And so he gave me an injection. And I said, "Well, if my fever go down by 100, I'm still going to fight." So it got
down
to 100.
Who was that, Campbell?
No. This is another doctor. I had another doctor at the time. I had to go to the emergency hospital with that.
Wow.
And so the doctor gave me a shot and told me to see him in 4 days, came back and see him 4 days, and my fever went down and everything. And I only fight Mambi. Mambi couldn't hurt me. I didn't even think about me. He scared to death of me, so I didn't care about Mambi. So I just said, 100 degrees, I can have 100 fever, I can beat Mambi, you know. So we got down. I got it down. I trained like another 4 or 5 days before the fight, and I took the fight with Mambi. But that was my worst fight. But I knew I was fighting Mambi. That's because I went in the ring. But with anybody else, I would never fought.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Sal Mambi told me when he won the title, he went to Korea or Japan. He said, and he knocked the guy out. And they handed him the trophy. He said, "You know," he said, "Doc, the fight was so rigged, but they handed him the trophy. It had the other guy's name on it." And he said they had to leave right from the ring. He said, "Man, all hell was breaking loose." He said, "Man, they handed the trophy, had the other guy's name on it, and they had to leave right from the ring to the airport."
Let me say something. Mambi is one of the most luckiest men in the world. And you know what Mambi should do? Mambi should give Don King a reward and go there and kiss Don King every time he sees him. Because if Don King wasn't around, Mambi would have never fought for the title. Mambi would have never got rated. Okay, that's one thing. Mambi was a wasn't a great fighter. He was a fair fighter. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that, and everybody in the game knew it back then, Mammy was a guy that everybody picked to fight for a warm-up fight because they knew they can beat him. And especially when he started fighting top contenders. But because of what Don had going for his organization, Mamby was able to pull through and get world champion and win the world championship. So Mamby better be very grateful for Don King. That's what I can say. Because he was not going to win through the rankings that we had to fight, which he always lost fights. I mean, every time you got Mamby into a good fight in a position, he always lost. Especially at Sunnyside Garden. Them guys were beating the dog out of Mamby. I mean, he's lucky for Don King. That's all I can say. He's lucky for Don King.
And how your thoughts on Wilfred Benitez?
Oh, Benitez was bad. Benitez was a pure boxer.
But you said his brother was really better, right, Frankie?
Oh, Frankie, yeah. Frankie was much better.
That's right. Frankie was the promising one. Not Wilfredo.
Let me tell you, y'all, if you want to see a pure boxer, Frankie was the most purest boxer you can see. Punch, box, did it all. Take the punch, everything. Only thing that messed him up was drugs. He started messing with drugs.
Drugs messed him up, that's right.
I
was at the guard when Bruce Curry should have got the nod over Benitez.
When his brother passed away, he was in jail. Drugs.
Frankie was like, he was the promising one. Nobody even thought Benitez was going to be great.
There were two brothers that boxed a lot. I think there were twins who fought the Benitez brothers at the beginning. The name started with a W. The Garden used to use them. And then Frankie was the star, not Wilfredo.
Not Wilfredo, right? He was.
There was Frankie, Wilfredo, and a third one.
Yeah, third one. The third one passed away the other day.
Yeah, yeah. The third one passed away. Yeah, his name was Jesus Christ. I boxed all three of those brothers too, because when the father used to bring down DeJesus and all the other guys. He used to bring his sons down there, and I used to box them all and everything in the gym. What was the other kid's name?
Arthur, who was the oldest? Frankie?
Other one was older.
The one that passed away the other day.
Yeah, he's the one that was the oldest.
He was the oldest.
My goodness.
There were good boxers.
Yeah, well, evidently, I heard the father was heavy in the horses, though. Is that true, Arthur?
Oh, that's where the money was. He was a gambler. You know, on a horse, you know.
Because I heard the story. Wolfie went to the bank one day, and they told him there's nothing there because his dad had taken it out.
I saw him. There was a restaurant across from the Garden. And he didn't fight that night. He was just in town, and the bar was crowded, and the joint was packed, and he walked in, everybody pouring and gave him a round of applause, and he told the guy, give me the check. Oh, my God.
Wolfie said that?
He paid for all the drinks.
Jesus Christ.
That was Wilfredo. Paid for all the drinks.
Tom was like, that guy's crazy.
That's our 2 minute warning. We got to wrap this up here. It's been a pleasure.
I did it myself a couple of times, so I know how.
We'll be back here. Arthur, it's been an honor to have you. Got to have you back. Three thoughts. Leave it like today after the 10 guard tomorrow.
Take care.
Nice you having me.
What are you doing for this?
Anytime.
But,
okay.
Hey, listen. Hey, we'll be calling you every time now. Gang.
Okay, Doc.
Love you all, and we'll be back here on Sunday.
Hello.
Yeah.
It's like heaven here, hearing your voice, man.
Yeah, man. Glad to hear you, too.
How is Emma?
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
You know, Arthur, because Harold has long contended
the scam, the kangaroo court methods that caused Panama to be banned. And you said some great things. You know, I mean, it's so obvious and so simple. You said, hey, was Everlast going to go to court and go against Everlast? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was Everlast going to dog Everlast? You know,
never.
And then, like you said, how after doing the commission thing, they took him to civil court. And then everybody tells you, oh, man, you know, the poor guy started drinking and died. Yeah, so they were there pouring the drinks for him?
Hey, Dr. Billy Collins' father sued everybody in sight.
Well, listen,
he
in America,
win, but he tried to sue everybody
you could sue for anything. He sued everybody in sight.
A guy look at you hard.
He sued, but he didn't win anything. They didn't win.
They
didn't get
anything.
Right,
he didn't win anything.
Never won. Right. No, no.
They didn't win anything.
The ref, everybody.
Yeah, but you could sue, but he didn't win anything.
No.
You know.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Plus, if you looked at the documentary, he actually was given a chance to fight again. There was a little bit of an indiscrepancy there because they made it sound like he was blinded or whatever.
Yeah.
That he couldn't fight anymore, but he did give an okay to fight again, and then the whole thing happened when he got killed. So actually, he wasn't really out of boxing the way they made it out to seem.
Wow.
You know.
Hey,
no.
Doc, is Hal still on the line?
Is Hal still on the line?
Yeah, you still there, right, Hal?
Yeah.
Hey, Hal, a quick question for you. Hey, Hal, if Tony Ayala wouldn't have went to the joint, how good would he have been? Did he have any future, Hal, Tony Ayala?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, he had a shot. I mean, he was a straightforward fighter. You couldn't really miss him. You know, he had this little macho about himself. But the fact is that he finally got beat by somebody.
He had gotten dropped really bad in his last fight before going to jail. He wasn't really like, yeah.
And then the bad part about a lot of people don't know, he was already on drugs. He started doing drugs.
Didn't know that.
See, a lot of people don't know that. And that was going to take him down anyway. So it was just a matter of time before he was going to get caught up with.
And plus, he got out of jail. He got out of jail. What did he do? He assaulted another. He broke into some woman's house and tried to assault them, and ended up back where he came from. He, you know what I mean? He got a second chance, and plus got to fight again. And he goes and he messes it all up again, and still in jail right now. So
yeah.
He was
drinking and all that stuff. He was just going down the wrong road and everything.
Weren't they talking about putting him against Iran at a junior middleweight or something one time?
Yeah, they were trying to do it one time. They were trying to make the move, but he hadn't even finished. Yeah, that was going to be down the road, but it was, you know, he hadn't even been. He hadn't fought for the title at the time. They were trying to get him a title, but it didn't work out. Like I said, he got arrested and that was it.
Yeah, Duran would have ate him for breakfast.
Yeah, he would have. And Duran would have knocked him out cold.
Harold, he wouldn't have knocked him. He just knocked him out cold.
Oh yeah, because he was. What's the name? Tony was like that. I mean, Tony didn't take a. Everybody thinks Tony. He couldn't take a great shot. He was bopped quite a few times in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't like he was all that. Just Dubas was matching him good with the guys they knew he was going to win. You know, hand picking all his opponents.
He had a brother who was a good fighter. What was the brother's name?
Was it Paulie Ayala?
Paulie Ayala wasn't his brother.
No?
He had a brother that used to box. I remember that. The Garden had signed him.
I remember that.
He didn't get. He didn't get to box in the Garden, but he had a contract with them.
His brother?
Yeah, was it? I'm sure. I'm positive.
Well, I know. I got one question. I know Larry Holmes has a brother who boxed too. You know his name? Anybody?
Larry Holmes.
Yeah, Larry.
I got his name.
You know his name?
Mr. Holmes.
No. His name was Mark Holmes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask Carol a question, Doc.
Yeah, go ahead.
Harold, let me ask you this. If you had a chance to fight Tommy again, would you have fought him?
Lady, I'd fought anybody. It didn't make any difference who they were.
Hal said, strap on the glove.
I'd have fought Tommy 5 days a week. It didn't make no difference to me.
Hey, Hal, how come Ray
how come we never fought him again?
All right. The eye, even when he got the eye repaired, Howard said, the good Lord told him, Mr. Son, sit down.
Yeah.
You know, the people all said, sit down. Sit down. You're rocking the boat. How come Ray never fought you?
I was about to
knew
ask
I was going
to
beat him. The one thing about it was that I was too much of a risk, and they knew I could beat him. You got to understand that when I fought one of Angelo Dundee's fighters before. He had a fighter that was like 29-1, Ralph Rodriguez. And the only guy that beat Ralph Rodriguez at the time was just Hedgman Lewis. And the guy had like a 34-1 record. And we fought, and I beat him so bad. I beat him 10 out of 10 rounds that when Dundee finally got, Angelo got Ray and started training him, then my name came up to fight him, and Angelo said, oh, no, you ain't never fight him. and the fight was never made.
What would have been the game plan against Ray Lennon, Harold? What would have been the game plan against Ray?
How would have been the strategy against Ray?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I said, what would have been your game plan against Ray Howard?
You know what it was? It would have been me putting a lot of pressure on him because he couldn't really fight going backwards. Ray got his hands off when he went forward. But I'd have put a lot of pressure on him. I'd have gave him more angles than he's ever seen in his life. And at the same time, I'd have killed his body. See, a lot of people don't understand. When a man takes drugs and you start killing his body, His system cannot take that contact of punches that's going to start going through him. And when you're going through his body, you're starting to tear him down from what he's been doing. And at the time, Ray was taking drugs. See, a lot of people don't know that, but I knew.
Now
that it's out, and everybody thought I was lying back then, but now everybody knows it's true. Ray would have got tired because one thing about Ray fought in spurts.
Mm-hmm.
I fought 3 minutes around.
That was evident in the Hearns fight. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He fights in spurts. I
mm-hmm.
fight 3 minutes around. He would have
Harold, was Marvin ever using cocaine?
Marvin didn't use, no. He didn't. Marvin was dedicated. Marvin didn't start messing with nothing until after he retired.
Really?
Yeah.
Sad, boy, how you got the pre and post life? Boy, hey, son, we got to let you go. God, Harold, do the book part two. Gang, listen, let's roll. We'll get back together on, got to get back to Sunday, I guess. Or maybe before then, but it's a pleasure. Arthur, you're going to be part of the crew. Cisco, man, come on back home, baby.
No doubt.
It's a pleasure,
okay,
Arthur. It's nice talking with you.
Bye, Harold. Bye, panel.
Right, you take care, lady.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Bye night.
Good night.